Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 172. John Senecal, myself, Brian Shackman, we have producer Matt Sorois. We are into the league championship series. I didn't think I fared particularly well in my predictions for the last round, and I don't really care. I'm going head versus heart. You know, like, I mean, first of all, how are you?
I'm good. It's we're plugging away. My son came home for a break, a visit from college. So
nice. Does he feel like a different person?
He's a little bit different. Yeah, it's different having him around the house. There's more crap around the house. I kind of
no. But when you say you maybe think about going to bed, he's like, Dad.
No,
STFU.
They were laughing at me that I was going to bed. He rolled in at like a little before 3 a.m. on Saturday morning.
And you're okay with that?
Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to stand out in the front porch and wait for him? And then when he goes off to college, go down there and stand on the front porch, wait for him? I mean, he's got to grow up at some point. You know, he's going out with his friends he hadn't seen in a while. They're over at someone's house. I knew where he was. So, you know, it is what it is. I did the same stuff when I was younger.
I know. I'm a hypocrite. I'm the double standard. I understand it. But that's cool. You got to see him. My wife got to see my daughter. We have family weekend next
weekend. It's weird,
though.
Yeah, we have family weekend next weekend. So it's like they come home, then you go right to family weekend, yeah. Which is kind of strange.
My daughter chose not to come home, even though she has.
Well, you'll get to see her next weekend.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to baseball. I have to say, you know, we're already into the Dodgers. When this goes to press, we're already into the Dodgers-Mets. And obviously, game one was a fiasco for the Mets. And nobody seems to know. You're probably the only person that knows anything about anybody with Cleveland. I couldn't name three players on Cleveland. So I don't know anything about them. I just know that I'm kind of not into the Yankees right now. I don't want to see Boone fired. I want to see, like, I want to see some action. I don't know why. I just do.
You want to see Boone fired? Well, the last year was the time that Boone was going to get fired. So I don't think that's happening
so
this year.
So making the league championship series enough to save his job?
I would say that Kim and Cashman are both safe.
Okay.
I would think the one thing that might happen is if they don't win the World Series, they might freak out and like spend more, knowing that like what the four teams that are left are all
outspending them.
There's $300 million teams. Wait, except for the Indians.
Yeah,
the Guardians.
The Indians aren't.
The Guardians. But yeah, I mean, the last three of the four teams are $300 million payroll teams. So, I mean, I guess you get what you pay for, right? Now, granted, the Mets, they're paying for half the league, too, because they're scattered all about.
And a lot of players who aren't with the Mets any longer.
Exactly.
I do hope that they can give the Dodgers a series. Let's get into our predictions. And listen, we're already, even though the Mets don't look good, I'm still picking the Mets.
We all picked the Mets to be here. So let's.
Yeah.
Start with that. I mean, none of us didn't have the Mets here, which was a huge feat because they had to knock off the Phillies. And I don't think a lot of people thought that, even going with how hot the Mets were.
You have to, by the way, we can digress. You have to really, I think Bryce Harper has delivered on his promise. I mean, he's a great player. We've known about him since he was a teenager. But maybe there's these questions about winning and that franchise about winning.
Yeah.
They are legitimate. Like, they've been good enough to win the World Series, and they haven't.
Yeah, I heard something on the radio right after the Phillies got knocked out, which I thought was interesting. And there was you know, people always talk about, oh, we got to get rid of this person, trade this person. What if we got rid of our star player and got a big haul in return, like Soto, the Padres did? But someone had mentioned about trading Bryce Harper. Now, obviously, I'm sure there's a no-trade clause involved with that. But
he could approve it, though.
Yeah, one person had said that, you know, maybe Bryce Harper isn't the best teammate because he's so damn intense. Like, he makes everyone around him almost nervous with his intensity. Where he's, you know, he's a great player, he's a great teammate, but he's not the teammate that you necessarily want. Where like a Francisco Lindor teammate is so cool, calm, and collective that no one gets edgy. Where Bryce always is like so wound tight and so
that might put other people on edge a little bit.
And it might knock off the performance of the other team. Now, I don't know what the validity to that is, but I mean, obviously Bryce Harper has been a polarizing figure a little bit since he's been in the league. Right back to the "that's a clown question, bro," and they asked him if he was going to drink in Toronto before he turned of age. So,
but my point is that maybe, you know, there's going to be some criticism. I mean, that team has not delivered. I mean, the Phillies, you know, with this group have been very successful in the regular season and have very little to show for it.
Absolutely. And I definitely think there'll be criticism. And it's tough to see who they're going to criticize because, you know, the manager is relatively new because they bumped Girardi in the middle of the season before to bring him in. So I don't necessarily see them dumping him in the middle of an extension. Yes, I think they need some retooling, but what is that going to be? Maybe it's just some bullpen help. The stars are there. Let's be honest. The stars are definitely there on that team.
So who are you picking in the NLCS?
So the NLCS, as we speak, you know, the Mets are already down one. But I, you know, it's tough because the Dodgers on paper, they got the star power, but they don't have the pitching. But that being said, they've tied a scoreless innings record with those 66 Orioles at 33 innings. So one more scoreless inning on Monday, and they got the record. So it should be interesting to see. I don't necessarily think the Dodgers have it. I know they have Mookie and they have Shohei. And when Mookie gets hot, the Dodgers get even hotter, right? Freeman is an interesting character because he's hurt. I don't know if he makes it through the postseason injured the way he is. Because how long can you just hobble and hobble around the bases and not be a factor? I think the Mets do come back. I think the Mets come back and force a game seven. I don't necessarily think that the Mets can win it, though. I just feel like the Dodgers have too much momentum. They'll have the home field advantage, and they'll win in seven.
I just want to ride the heart. I like the Mets. I really have always loved Pete Alonso. I like the underdog side of it. So I don't think they're going to win either, but I'm picking them. I'm picking them to win. My thing with the Dodgers, they're like – when we talked about the potential lineup with the Yankees, if everyone was healthy, we're like, that's unbeatable. When you think about it, if Kike Hernandez and Kyle Muncy hit, I mean, that lineup is insane because you're really in trouble top and bottom. So yeah. I just feel like, yeah, they're tough to beat. But I don't want them to win. And I mean, Dave Roberts is one of the Red Sox heroes of all time. But I just don't like the team. And so I don't want, you know, they have everybody. They have Betts and Ohtani. I mean, I just don't want to.
It's interesting now the way, you know, once the four teams in the LCSs were determined, you know, most people jumped right ahead and were like, oh, who are the Yankees going to play in the finals? Is it going to be a Subway Series or is it going to be LA and New York? Well, come on now. Let's get realistic here. The Yankees got to beat Cleveland first. And Cleveland's not
got respect for them for some reason.
Well, obviously because the division they're in, right? Everybody in that division went 13-1 basically against the White Sox. So that division's numbers are definitely inflated a little bit, right? But that being said, you still won your division. You still made it through the Tigers. I mean, you basically almost had the best record in the AL right behind the Yankees by like a game, I think. So they're not going to roll over and play dead. I mean, their strength is their bullpen, right? Their starting pitching, like you said, who are you going to name their starter pitching?
I can't name anybody.
It's really not. You don't have much, right? It's going to be real interesting. They got Alex Cobb going in game one, and then they got Tanner Bibee going in game two. And after that, it's all TBD. At least the Yankees have their four starters set. That being said, pitching is their strong point, but pitching has also been taxed. Their bullpen has been severely taxed.
You know, people don't realize Jose Ramirez was one home run away from 40-40.
Yeah.
I don't really follow them at all, but like, how does he compare to your Juan Soto, to your Ohtani, like it's all around like hitting? Because I haven't watched him. I haven't paid attention to him.
Well, I mean, he is the most underrated great player in the game of baseball, period. I mean, and he decided to sign a long contract and stay in Cleveland, which surprised a ton of people because he definitely could have commanded more on the open market, being a switch hitter and a good, you know, he's not the best fielder, but he's a plus defender.
Yeah.
He's a smart player and he's a switch hitter. And he's in the top five every year, basically, in MVP voting. Comparing him to a Juan Soto, I mean, I think he's right up there. I mean, Soto obviously is flashy, and of course he plays in New York, and he's been the flavor since he's been 19. But, you know, Matt Stroyce knows I love switch hitting hitters, man. I love switch hitters. The versatility is there. So Jose Ramirez, I mean, if you the thing about him is you if you can minimize him in the playoffs, that's going to be huge, right? Because he's their main threat.
He's 32 years old. I didn't even know that. And he's 5'9", 190. He's a roly-poly.
Yeah. Not quite Kung Fu Panda, but...
Well, I'm going to pick the Indians because I just...
Guardians.
I just I'm not into the Yankees right now. I don't know why. And it's not even like I'm a Yankee hater because I'm a Red Sox fan. I've actually really, this guy's I like on the team and I have a ton of respect for Judge and I even kind of like Stanton. But I want you to suffer.
You want me to suffer?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see that happening because I think the Yankees will beat them. I think the Yankees will beat them in six games. But
I think you're probably right.
But for that to happen, Aaron Judge is going to need to hit. All right, the Yankees squeaked by the Royals. Let's be honest. They squeaked by the Royals. Stanton showed up to play. Judge was basically a non-factor. He had two hits, I believe, the whole series. The Royals, I mean, they had some bad pitching. They didn't get any timely hitting. Bobby Witt fell asleep, basically. So, you know, you switched that around a little bit, and you got yourself a much different series with possibly the Yankees going home. I mean, after game two, where Rondon started and looked like a Cy Young candidate for the first three innings and everything, all the wheels fell off, I was worried.
Yeah.
I was real worried about the Yankees because they were looking bad and Judge was not hitting. And if you can minimize and take Judge out of the equation, those other guys need to hit. So you might see a situation in the playoffs here where if Austin Wells is not hitting, you're going to see Stanton bumped up to number four in the lineup. Now, regardless, I don't know if you want to go righty-righty in that lineup, but you're going to need someone to show Judge some pitches because Judge will hit. He is going to hit. He looked better his last two games. He started to hit the ball a lot harder with more emphasis. He will be a factor in this series.
What's the hell?
That's the big question. As we speak now, Brian, I mean, I'm kind of torn here as we talk because the rosters haven't been announced yet.
Right.
The pitching rosters have been announced. The Yankees are going to go with 13 or 12 pitchers. We don't know. So if they go with 13, you're going to have an odd man out. It's going to be like, you know, the Martian, Duke Ellis, or why is Duke Ellis even a mention on this team? And Trent Grisham, one of those three is probably going to go because if Boone has said anything, Verdugo's the guy in left field. And I don't think he's going to change that. He's going to go with Verdugo in left field. And he showed that against lefty pitching. He threw him up there. So I believe Boone is going with experience and defense in left field. So it will be interesting. I don't know about Rizzo. I would love to see Rizzo be playing first base. But that said, Birdie and Cabrera filled in very nicely in his absence. I mean, they're not the presence. They're not the left-handed bat. Cabrera's a switch hitter. I would rather see him starting at first. But the question about Rizzo is, do you just put him in there to put him in there? He has to be healthy. He has to be ready to go. I just don't know if he's ready to go. If he's ready, he's in there, in my opinion. You got to have him on the roster. You have to.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Anything else in your mind? I do want to touch on the, how do you say it, Class A?
Well, before we talk about that, which is interesting, let's talk about what's going on down in Florida, right? I mean, they got two wallops of a hurricane have come through, and the second one, Milton, ripped the roof off of Tropicana Field.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a shelter.
Which was supposed to be like a staging area / shelter. There's cots all over the field. Now, the interesting part about this is the whole rigmarole over the last 3 years about moving the team, relocating the team, building a new stadium. Well, that was just approved to build them a new stadium starting in 2028, which is basically right near the current stadium. So that being said, most of the stuff I'm reading is saying that they're not going to be able to have this roof done by March 27th. When they have their home opener,
so what do you do?
Exactly, what do you do? Do you go and do you play? Hopefully, play outdoors down there. Do you play at spring training complexes? I don't know if there's a big enough stadium down there. There's probably a spring training complex you could go to. I don't know what's the drainage like at that place. What if it starts raining there over the next 5 months? It's going to rain. What happens? Is there a drainage in that field? Is it going to be just totally wiped out?
Now, when is the new stadium going to be done?
They're supposedly 2028, beginning of 2028 season. So that's out of play.
So they have to fix Trop.
They have to fix the Trop or they can move them to Oakland and play, I guess, right? I mean, what are they going to do?
They're only drawn, this got to be a minor league stadium or a spring training stadium that has capacity that's near their.
I would think so. I just don't think they're going to be able to have a brand new, even if it's a makeshift roof, you're going to be able to put that on that stadium, have it all checked and balanced and all the regulations and all the security checks and safety checks.
No, and you can't play there until it's fixed, right?
Exactly.
So it's not like you can play through it, right? It's not like you have a broken bathroom or stands in one area. It's the roof. I mean, the human suffering in Florida is not what I'm talking about. Major League Baseball in Florida is stupid to me. So I don't care about the Marlins and the Rays. I don't, and I never have. And it's because why would you go see them when you can see all the teams, you know, 2 weeks before in spring training? I just think it's dumb.
Well, they're going to have to do something because their new stadium won't be ready for another 3 years. So either they're going to put a Band-Aid on this one at a cost they probably don't want to do, because I'm sure it's going to be, you know, at least $50 to $100 million to fix that roof.
Right, and that's money that Florida probably wants to spend somewhere else.
Especially after the last two hurricanes.
Yeah.
They're not going to get that pushed through. So what do you do? Do you say screw it? Do you just play in minor league parks down there for the next 3 years? I mean, they got a big dilemma here of what they're going to do with MLB. You know, personally, I hope it just forces the issue to say, screw it, let's go to Nashville or something. Like, all right.
That's what sort of my point is, like, it'd be better if they just left and went to Salt Lake City or Nashville or wherever.
Yeah. Well, maybe that will happen. I mean, maybe this is something that they're going to say, realize that, you know what, this is not something we want to do going forward.
Yeah. The problem is you have to have owners, you either have to sell the team or have the owners want to do it. And that's the problem. If they were league owned teams, it'd be a whole different animal. I think when you deal with ownership, then you're dealing with a whole different ball game. Just really quickly, I've seen, you know, somebody, a former ball player, runs a business where I think he gives advance pay to players offset by future earnings. But I guess the interest rate is such that, like, it's kind of like a payday loan for the player, and it's not very good for the player. This thing that, how do you say his last name?
Emmanuel Clase, the closer for the Cleveland Guardians.
But what he's doing is different. He's selling shares in his own contract.
Contract. You can buy shares of Emmanuel Clase's future earnings through a site called, I guess it's Finley, F-I-N-L-E-T.
And he's not even he's arbitration eligible. He's not going to be a free agent for several years.
He isn't an actual free agent, I believe, until like 2027, which, you know, he's projected to make like close to $30 million between now and the time he goes to arbitration. That's his current contract. Not exactly right now, but the current contract.
But you're buying shares in perpetuity. Like, you can get a piece of that free agent contract if he ends up being great.
Yep. The way the site says is that you'll start getting paid back the beginning of 2025. So if you're buying in now, once his contract starts, he starts getting paid the beginning of 2025. Your dividends would be getting paid up until that point. Like, starting at that point.
So
at $12 a share, you can buy at $12 a share.
You can own up to 3%. I think it was. Was that the cap of the percentage of ownership?
Yeah, and then, like, something like each share is entitled to point, like, 0.00009% of his future earnings.
So, I guess, I don't know the math, but how much would he have to make for how much period of time for people to make their money back? I don't know how to calculate that.
Well, they said the minimum investment is, let's see, minimum investment is like $350.
So what I want to know is, why would he and his agent decide to do this, and are people actually doing it? I'm going to try to reach out to the agent, because it's a way to give him some money now, so he can have more money now. But I don't know. What the incentive is to do it, unless a couple thousand people do it, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to give a lot of people do it for it to make sense for him to have more money up front. And then what? It just sucks if he gets hurt, or isn't that good? It just seems like it's just.
Yeah, it seems kind of strange to me, especially like a closer, because closers usually aren't the ones making huge money.
No.
The biggest money is like Edwin Diaz with the Mets. He's got like $100 million contract. So you're figuring, like, what is like 1/10,000, or what is more than that, like 1/100,000th of a percent of his future earnings or something like that? It just doesn't seem viable to me. I mean, if you're going to spend, you know, your minimum investment is what, $350? I mean, how long is that going to take to even get that back?
It'd be kind of fun to get a check for like $2.50
after he retires.
And is he going to do like investor meetings so you can You can go talk to him.
Well, it says it's, you know, it's fun because you can follow along and you can follow along his future earnings. But, you know, for someone like, you know what he's going to make.
Right.
And, you know, if he signs a contract for, say he signs a 5-year, $100 million contract. Well, you know that's what he's making. The only thing he's going to get on top of that would be performance bonuses.
Right. Plus, even if they take the money they get up front and invest it, like, I don't want to profit to the expense of a major league athlete. Like, I don't want to make more money. I'm taking money out of his pocket, right? I mean, I don't like the concept of it because, like, I'm going to root for him to do well so I can make more money, but he's actually, the better he does, he'll make less money because he's got to give it back to you. So I don't really like the concept of taking money out of somebody's pocket like that.
It seems all kind of gimmicky to me.
So anyway, I'd like to know the numbers. I'll try to follow up with the agent and see if they won't give us any data. Because they don't have to.
I'd imagine there's probably not a ton of data yet because this is all very new, like, too.
The data in terms of how many people are participating.
Right, yeah. I mean, they're obviously preying on newer contracts, like guys that are going to sign contracts coming up. So, I mean, you're basically buying into this guy hoping that, A, he sticks around healthy for the next 2.5, 3 years.
And he's good and he gets a big contract.
And then his next contract is a huge contract, which it's kind of hard to believe.
Then everybody wins. All right, John, so we'll catch up, I guess, by the time we catch up.
We'll
have a World Series or no?
Yeah, hopefully, you know, unless something crazy happens in this series where it's, you know, out of control and we really need to talk about it. And we've made our picks, I think, and we'll reconvene before the World Series and go with that.
Sounds perfect. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.